As the Lord shall be pleased to help me, I shall call your attention to a subject you will find in the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and the 6th verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Chapter 14, the Gospel of John, and the 6th verse. It would be impossible to overestimate the unspeakable importance of this great truth which the Savior declared at this time. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one thing very noticeable in the life that Jesus lived as verily man, when he went about with his disciples. And it is that which you could well expect to be manifested by Jesus, seeing who he was, verily man, verily God. But it is noticeable, and that is his wonderful tenderness in dealing with his disciples, especially at times when they manifested ignorance of his truth, which one would think they should be well aware of. And that, if I turn aside to make a comment, leads me to say this. When you speak one to another about the things of God, you must always seek grace to have before your eyes what may be the natural temperament of the disciple you are speaking to, whoever it may be, and not be too hasty in judging them, for they may be like it was with Thomas at this time. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Had heard much about the things of God from the Savior's own lips, and he knew the purpose whereby he was come down into the world to save sinners. And he should have known that when love's redeeming work was done, he would return to heaven from whence he came. But he seems to have lost sight of it. We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? The Lord Jesus did not say, Thomas, oh, how ignorant you are. How little do you understand of what I have so often told you of my mission in the world? The Lord Jesus was wonderful in his patience. Good is that word, the God of patience, and that is what he is. And he needs to be the God of patience in how he deals with poor sinners like you and me in our journeying on through life. For we often need to be reminded of things which we have already learned, apparently, and yet we need to go back and be reminded of those same truths. And now you see that Thomas was a disciple. He had a heart of gold as regards the Lord Jesus, although he was hesitant and he was ready to question. But you know what happened after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead? Thomas said, unless I shall see him and see the wounds made manifest, put my hands into his side, I will not believe. And when the Lord Jesus did appear, and Thomas was there, the Lord Jesus reminded him of what he had said. What did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. And that is what he was in reality. And you will find there are many sinners taught of God, yet sometimes their natural temperament, being what it is, it proves to be a hindrance to them in making manifest what they really do know of the things of God. And they are hesitant when they should be forthcoming, and they keep silence when they should speak on God's behalf. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And now this cuts off all other kinds of religion, whatever their nature may be, however much they may appeal to people, and they seek to possess that religion and live in accordance with it. It will not do to go through life thinking that if a man is sincere in what he believes, it will avail him to his profit when he comes down to die. Because there are tens of thousands of people beneath the sun who are religious to a very great degree, and they are sincere according to what they believe, but they are sincerely wrong. And now the Lord Jesus goes right down to bedrock. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And now let us work out that line of things as the Lord shall be pleased to help us. I am the way. And now that way was planned in heaven before the world was built or time was born. A way ordained of God and laid out in the everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And it is indeed a wonderful way. The name of him who is the way is said elsewhere to be, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And of a truth, it is a wonderful way. And the wonder of it is that it is a way from God to man. And then, I was going to say, and I will, more wonderful still, it is a way from man to God. Evidencing those wonderful means God has devised whereby God and man can meet together on friendly terms. I am the way. And now I want to show you some characteristics of this way, and the great thing is not to listen to a proclamation of the gospel setting it forth as though it was just a signpost showing you the way. You must go along it if you would find heaven awaiting you at the end of it. And I would like to feel that many of us under Union Chapel roof are concerned to be found in this way, the way to God, and it is a way of life. It is a living way. I am the way. And now what Jesus Christ was setting forth to Thomas and his fellow disciples was the fact that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you sometimes sing, and the older you grow, the more you will know about it, if ever my poor soul is saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. And now, when the Adam fall took place, and you know I often have to refer to it, and strictly speaking, no sermon can be preached without doing so. And when the Adam fall took place, the Lord God drove out the man and the woman too, and placed an angel with a fiery flaming sword at the entrance to the garden. A fiery flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way that led to the tree of life. There was no way back that man could take, no way whereby man could evade that fiery flaming sword and gain access to the tree of life. Sin entered into the world, and death upon all men, for that all have sinned. But there was one great mercy made known to Adam. And as long as he lived, and as he was led into the truth, oh, how he must have desired to humble himself before God for that great mercy made known. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head. And there was a proclamation that in the fullness of time, God would make known there was a way whereby poor sinners might again have access to the tree of life, but not on the basis of a return to Eden's garden. I wonder if you think sometimes of what you sing, a very great truth. In him the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. When the Adam fall took place, Adam and Eve lost that wondrous happiness they had enjoyed for a while in Eden's garden. And that was what they lost when they were driven out of it. So that, if people only weighed matters up, especially those who talk of free will, and that man can do this and that, if man could do this and that, it could only bring him back into that earthly happiness that Adam and Eve enjoyed when they dwelt before God in Eden's garden. It could not fit them for heaven, because when the Adam fall took place, Adam and Eve did not lose heaven. Remember that, because we believe they're both in heaven. And thus the hymn writer is right. In him the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. And God has devised means whereby, as I have said, there should be a way of access again to the tree of life, but not in Eden's garden. You will find that set forth at the end of the word of God itself, Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. And the way into the city is the way referred to in our text. And in that way, you do not meet with an angel with a fiery flaming sword turning every way to guard the way and oppose your progress. What has happened to the angel's fiery flaming sword? On Calvary's cross, that fiery flaming sword was sheathed in the Savior's side. And if you were made a pilgrim to Canaan bound and go along this way that Jesus Christ is made to his dear people as they journey on through life, you will, somewhere along it, learn a lesson like this. Sinner, thou hast done the deed. Thou hast made the Savior bleed. Justice drew its sword on me, pierced my heart, and passed by thee. I am the way. The way to God. What a wonderful thing it is to contemplate that man and God can meet together on friendly terms. But then, the way had to be made manifest, and that meant that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his own Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And thus, you see him beginning to open up this way when the angel sang in a silent night, unto you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And in the manger cradle, sheltered in the stable at Bethlehem, there laid a little babe. Verily man, verily God. His shoulders held up heaven and earth when Mary held up him. And in that scripture in Galatians, made of a woman, made under the law, it is wonderful to contemplate that he kept that law in every jot and tittle of its holy demands, as he lived his wondrous life from the cradle to the cross. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view, and the saints in him are perfect too. He opened that way. And to poor sinners born again, it is a way of righteousness. For in living his life under the law, keeping it in the perfection of it, God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that means every poor sinner going along that way is favored to have a righteousness, the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ, whereby he or she is made meet for the inheritance of the saints in light. For this way is indeed a way of righteousness. But then, made of a woman, made under the law. And that means that when he had done love's redeeming work, he went up Calvary's cross with willing feet to suffer in the stead of all that vast host God the Father had ordained to life eternal. And oh, how good it is when you can be found at Calvary's cross with a right apprehension of what was done thereon. How it was done, we can't discuss, but this we hope, 'twas done for us. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thus the word of God sets it forth. It is a scene of wondrous grace. It is Jesus in the sinner's place. And every sinner taught of God goes to heaven by way of Calvary's cross and what was done thereon. Each one, every one, by living faith, sooner or later, does behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so, when Jesus said, I am the way, it means in the life that he lived and the death that he died. But then on that Easter morn, the word went forth, the Lord is risen indeed. And that was the consummation of love's redeeming work. And then he ascended up on high, to be found at his Father's right hand, triumphant over sin and death and hell. And he is there this Sabbath afternoon as the sinner's friend. I am the way. And now if you should be concerned to get in touch with God, many of you have known that mercy. And it is a very great mercy. No preacher can say what ought to be said about it. For it is an unspeakable mercy. Think of it like this. There was a time in your life when the thought of God was a terror to you. And he is to some of you now. But there was a time with you when you did not think of God, nor did you want to come in touch with God or have to do with God. Your attitude was, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thee or thy ways. And alas, some of you may feel like that this Sabbath afternoon. But blessed be God, many of you, by grace, communicated, found there came into your life a feeling you had not known heretofore, a solemn awareness that you were a sinner with a never-dying soul, and that at the end of life's journey it would be either heaven or hell, one of the two, and you did not know which of the two it would be. But from that time you were concerned to know that you might be found in the way to God, the way of life, the way of righteousness, and that you might be numbered with his dear people, with whom it is well living and dying. And it was made known to you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Oh, that is the basis on which God ordained salvation should be known and felt by that people whom he has ordained to life eternal. One hymn writer says, a bleeding Christ is all the way, and blood tracks all the path. And you know, if you are taught of God, you cannot put into words at times how precious is the blood of Jesus Christ in your soul's esteem. Precious in the efficacy of it, and precious in the absolute necessity for you to know it, as the blood of sprinkling, that rich atoning blood which sprinkled round I see provides for all who come to God, and all prevailing plea. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And so, we may sum up this viewpoint of the subject as regards love's redeeming work, that it is the infinite merits of Jesus Christ as the sinner's friend, whereby he is the way in which all sinners taught of God are enabled to walk and find heaven await them at the end of it. And as you walk therein, there is one feeling that you are the subject of from time to time, and you must be the subject of it. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And you are glad when you can find in your heart that you are walking in agreement with God in the way in which you go. And there is one great truth that will be made very plain in your soul's experience. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. And now you will learn it like this. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. And now, this is what you will learn. Salvation is of the Lord in every jot and tittle. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Many of you for years, some not so long, others much more, as regards time, have been following on to know the Lord in this way. Oh, it is a wonderful way to go along. And you may say, maybe you have said it, I wish the preacher would come down more, that I might know if I am in it. Well, I'll turn aside and make a comment about that. You find that when those two disciples were on the Emmaus Road, as they journeyed along with their hearts so sad and their minds so perplexed, and they were judging according to their own conclusions about things that had happened, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And oh, what a wonderful change that made in their outlook. And as he questioned them, and then he began to open up the scriptures, and in the scriptures the things concerning himself, oh, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And afterwards, reflecting on it, the Word of God tells us, and they told what things were done in the way, and how he was made known of them in the breaking of bread. And now, if you are in this way, the way that Jesus Christ is, the only way that God has lined out, whereby you can be saved with an everlasting salvation, you will have things to tell that were done in the way. The dealings of God with you. It may not be as yet things outstanding. And you will also be able to declare how he has been made known to you in the breaking of bread. And that means in the preaching of the gospel. The gospel will be to you at times a word of comfort, a word of confirmation. Some things will be set forth whereby you will feel, as in water face answereth unto face, so does the heart of man to man. And that is the equivalent of the breaking of bread. Preaching the gospel is breaking the bread of life. And oh, that wonderful word that Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he that eateth of this bread, he shall live forever. And now, you must be concerned day by day to tell what things have been done in the way as you and God have journeyed on together, and how he has been made known to you in the breaking of bread. You will have evidences, not only in hearing the gospel in its power, you will have answers to prayer. You will have helps by the way. You will have waymarks you have set up when trouble like a gloomy cloud has gathered thick and thundered loud. You will have tokens for good. You will have helps and hopes, little touches of the Spirit of God, sometimes his love shed abroad, and when he is pleased to make himself known to you. And oh, you must treasure up these things in your soul's experience. I rejoice in thy word as one that findeth great spoil, and what God has wrought in our soul's experience is the equivalent of great spoil, and you must treasure it up. And listen, you must not at any time anywhere belittle it. There is that tendency in us sometimes to do so, as it was with Thomas. He had got a much better knowledge of the things of God than he realized till after the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. You will find with the disciples, the 11, there were times when words were spoken which evidenced what was going on within their heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And sometimes they came out boldly to declare who Jesus Christ was. And you may think of Peter when the question was put, whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed these things unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And yet, at another time, you were ashamed to read at what Peter's behavior could be. Yet all the while, he was right at heart. And I do want you, dear people, to keep in mind, as you get in touch with people taught of God, and sometimes you may have your thoughts about things they say or things they do, and you may be ready to question what they are. And now, you must remember Thomas. And you may find those same people at another time will give solid evidence that they possess that religion that God is the author of. But sometimes what they are by nature is so made manifest that you have your own thoughts and questions as to where they are and what they are. The word of God is against judging. It would be a good thing if that word was more understood in our own denominational life. Judge nothing before the time, the Savior said. There is a time to come when things will be made plain and clear, and it will be seen who is on the Lord's side and who is otherwise. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. And now, if you are in this way, there are some characteristics concerning this way which you will be taught and learn by experience. And when all is said and done, it is good to have experience. I suppose you all know what the word experience means. The word experience means proof. You read in the Old Testament, I have learned by experience, and it is, I have learned by proof. And you will experience, if you are in the way that Jesus Christ is, asking the way to heaven with your face thitherward, you will find it is a way of separation from the world. He who declares he is the way said concerning his disciples, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Marvel not if the world hates you, but know it hated me before it hated you. You will find this way is indeed a way of separation. It is also a way of suffering. You will find no one going along this way, but what? If your eyes are open to discern, you will see they have a cross. And if you look keen enough, you will see they have a cross that you are thankful to God he has not given it to you. Although you grumble and complain at what you judge your cross to be, when you sometimes learn the cross that is given to other heaven-bound pilgrims, you can say thank you to God that he has chosen a different cross for you. Do keep that in mind, as the Lord shall help you. And it might enable you more often to rejoice in the Lord and to feel, did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Yes, it is a way of suffering, and God allots that suffering. There is a word in the Psalms, he shall choose our inheritance for us. And you be thankful that your inheritance is what it is, and that you are what you are and where you are. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, and because his compassions fail not. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his Lord. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. A way of separation, a way of suffering. Ay, but it is a way of strength. And now there is a lesson to be learned. Sometimes these pilgrims in this way are very slow in learning it. It is a way of strength. And yet our hymn writer tells us what is the truth about it. Jesus is the way of strength. Yet the strong this way can't come. And the Lord will prove at length weaklings have the victory won. You go along this way. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved, and leaning moves along, every moment be receiving strength, and yet be always weak? What saith the Scriptures? My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Another thought is that this way will always be a way of sanctification, so that those who go along it, they want to tread in their master's footprints. As you read in Peter's epistle, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. And sanctification, you all know, means to be set apart for God. And as you go along this way in a right mind, following on to know the Lord, you will desire to exhibit the Spirit of Christ in all that you are and do. It is a very solemn scripture. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Oh, but these people, heaven-bound pilgrims, in a right mind, oh, they can sometimes say, oh Lord, I would seek the charms of thy mind, the grace to be meek and lowly and kind, forbearing, forgiving, and loving always, and only be living to publish thy praise. And now that is, as they go along that way, that Jesus Christ is. Jesus said, I am the way. The great thing is, are you and I in it? What think ye of Christ? Let your conscience tell you what you do think, and that what you think, how it influences your life as you live it, day by day. And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Can people where you live, or where you go forth to earn the bread which perisheth, discern that you have been with Jesus, and that you possess something which they do not? They are in the world and of it, but they can discern there is a difference between themselves and you, and now that difference has been made by God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. And now I must come to the amen. I must leave the other part of the subject for another time, as the Lord shall help me, it may be, to take it up again. But as you go along this way, there is one thing, not only that Jesus Christ has lined it out for you to go along, but one thing that will sometimes wonderfully quieten your mind and help you to still press on, though it be against opposition from earth and hell alike, as you are helped to consider what awaits you at the end of the way. The city to which I am journeying will more than my sorrows repay, and the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen.
The ordinance of the Lord's Chapel is following service. The entrance of service is given at 6:15, the next is at 10:15. Prayer meeting and dress on Thursday. The singing number 162, in Cambridge on the 6th. I am, says Christ, the way, man, which is very soon. All other paths must be this way.
I am the way, the truth, and the life.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit be upon us, and upon all who love the truth, everywhere. Amen and amen.